to talk about those again.
Present, sitting down here, Lord. Come us to come with our hearts. Oh God. I'd like to read from Joshua. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to come before your presence. Thank you for gathering us at this hour, this critical time in the history of the church, for your kingdom and for your name. And for your purpose on the earth. The man said, if you did not spare the angels, if you did not even spare Adam, Lord, we ask that you might help us to touch your heart and to touch the burden of the hour. We ask, O God, that you might lay your hands upon us, that open the eyes of our understanding. And in doing so, Lord, grant us to see and to appreciate the hope of our calling and the riches of your inheritance towards us and your power unto us. We ask, O God, you might give bread to the eater, or give seeds to the sower. Grant us understanding, for this is the hour of understanding. Blessed be your name, Lord. Amen. Amen. I have a burden. Which I don't think will be exhausted today. I'd like to ask you to just bear with me. I have a burden. Like Rahuba said last Sunday, he said, I think I have a word from the Lord. I have a burden. If you look at Joshua, let's look at Joshua. Verse 2 is a very significant statement which I will encourage us to take to heart. It says, Moses, my servant, is dead.
Amen.
You know, so brethren, you know, I'm so excited. This room is filled. At other times, we will be struggling to go halfway. But I'm excited on a public holiday that the room is filled. So that is good. Amen. It shows we are doing well. Very well, we are doing well. Amen. So Bible says, speak ye comfortably to Zion. So we are doing well. Amen. It shows an alertness in the spirit that. We all are sensing something, you know, that there is something, and it's true, there is something. But you see, where we are now is not the time to just pray. You know, let us pray, you pray. I'm sorry, it's a little bit beyond just pray. You know, or say, it's time to fast, you fast. It's a little bit, no, those things are good, fasting and praying, and they are good. But where we are now is a little bit different, because there must be understanding. You know, Paul said, I'm not like one that beats the air, because the time, we don't have much time, and the resources are not even available, and I don't think we're going to come this way again. So if I'm going to beat, then I must get, I must be exact. I must know exactly what I am doing. And brethren, I think God is speaking without trying to, you know, do anything. It's just, I can say that the trumpets are sounding. The word of God is very clear. Yeah. What the church should do, where we should be. There is no. There was a time when it was not clear, but I can tell you, brethren, there is a clear word from the Lord as to where we should be going, what we should be doing. Amen. And one of those words is this one I've read to you. It says, "Now Moses, my servant, is dead." You know, so what he was saying to Joshua, look, one era has passed. You are about to come into something new. I don't know if you feel it, but it is very clear. If you don't get any message, when you go away, know in your spirit that one era has gone. There is a new era. And God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Put it aside. Now, therefore. You know, now, therefore means he is giving a new direction, a new focus. Amen. And there's a word that I would recommend to you. Hold it. Now, therefore, what do? Arise. That's the key. You know, you see, I mean, that is the key to everything that is going to happen in the years ahead, in the days ahead, in the things. Therefore, arise. Hallelujah. Amen. If you don't get anything, get it. It's a time to arise. Where do you arise? Who is to arise? Okay, let me give you an example. But I asked you credit. He said, those who are on the rooftop should not come down. You know? So what is the rooftop? What is he saying? Amen. Moses was a type of Christ. Moses was a type of Christ. Hebrews compared Moses to Christ. And for me, I've been asking God a question. Well, I hope you won't be too startled by my question. I say, God, if I die now, so what? I don't know if you understand. If a man takes a gun and shoots at you, why should you die? If a man takes a gun and shoots at you, why should you die? Why should your spirit, your soul, be separated from your body? Because a man is shooting a gun at you. Why? Why? So, brethren, the game has changed. You know, so, I mean, why am I really alive? Why did I come into the earth? What is it just to do things and eat garri and do all those things and after that? And they say, you know, so, brethren, there is something much more, you know, much more, like the brother was saying. You know, Daniel was there, but he began to see something, you know, beyond just the food they were putting behind, you know, in front of him. And brother, I want to encourage us. You see, we have come to the place of perception, being able to see. You see, there is a reality that is beyond these four walls. The Bible says, the things which are not seen are eternal. How can the things that are not seen be eternal? And that the things we are seeing are what? They are temporary. That means this whole thing. So, in other words, he said that there are two realms, there are two realities. There is a spiritual reality, which is more real than even the physical. Amen. And, you know, we need to begin to touch the heart of God, you know. And God said to me, you know, the problems you have is that. You see, you spend a lot of time on horizontal relationships. You know, horizontal relationship is, you know, related with my wife, my children, my friends, my brethren. You know, that is so little. It's like 1% out of the 100. The reality, brethren, is in the Vatican. It is touching God and going down to the depths. Amen. And if I'm not able to touch God, I cannot relate with anybody. Amen. You know, like the brother was saying, you know, the things we see, they are going to increase. You know, they are going to increase. But you see, I can't deal with them if I cannot talk. That is say, holding the head. You know, so I must hold the head. I must have the ability to reach the head. There was a story yesterday night. You know, thieves went into the house of someone, and the little child was the one that was making phone calls, calling everybody. It was shocking. But brethren, you know, it speaks of, for me, it tells me that where we are now, there is only one thing that matters, and my ability to reach out to God and to hold God. That is, holding the head from which everything else takes perspective. Amen. Are we able to hold the head? Are we able to hear God? Are we able to relate to God? Amen. Because if I can't relate to God, it will be difficult for me to relate to everything. Because everything you know on the natural is going to pieces. Everything is going to pieces. Amen. So it says, arise. Go over this Jordan. That is the second burden. The first burden is, arise. The second one is, go over Jordan. So I don't know if you're able to get it. Now, the focus is not Jordan. The focus is beyond the Jordan. It says, thou and these people. Again, that's okay. Let me put that number three. All right. So number one is arise. Sorry, number one is Moses is dead. It's a change. Second one, arise. Third one, go over this Jordan. And then number four, thou and the people. It goes together. That is a two-way thing. That what God is saying, he's saying to you, but he's also speaking about the body. He said, thou and the people. You know, so I have to take it to myself, but it must be in the context of Christ. It must be the context of, and when we speak of Christ that, and the people is not just looking at the people in a locality, that's part of it. But he's speaking about the body of Christ, what God is doing in the earth. And we will see that in a while. He says, unto the land, number five, which I do give thee, to the children of Israel, to inherit. So there are definite things God is saying. There is, you see, the ultimate goal is that there is a land to inherit. Now, what is that land? Is it a heaven somewhere you go and you are floating? Amen. Because it's good to identify that. It's good to address it. You know, we talk of going to heaven. Which theology is that? That's not the theology. That's not the theology. Because heaven is coming down. Say, thy kingdom. Do what? Come. Amen. So we're not talking about flying somewhere and hovering somewhere. No, no, no. Thy kingdom come. So what is the heaven? What is the land? And I find that, you know, when I come to Christian meetings, you know, among the brethren, I hear what people are saying. I see that we have lost a clarity of where we're going to. And a journey without a destination is called what? Wandering. You know, you can be praying, fasting. But where, for what purpose is the fasting? For what purpose is the praying? Now, if the objective is not well defined, it becomes church. From one fasting to another, from one praying to another, not hitting the mark. There is a target, brethren. And that target, the devil has taken it away. And he replaced it with prosperity. He has replaced it with marriage, getting a job, getting a good life, you're getting children, getting all these things. Brethren, do that. That's not the focus. I'll ask God, say, if I die now, what is, I'm sorry, don't be annoyed with me. But I'm asking real questions. Because see, where we are now has gone beyond just church thing, you know, fellowship. Because there are real issues that are involved. Because this earth is going to be real to and fro, like a madman. It's coming. It's only someone who is so dead spiritually that cannot feel that there's trouble. The other day, someone had a dream. I don't know if you have it, so I'm going to share it. This will be on the internet, fine, no problem. He said he saw someone, saw a house, it was black. And as he continued to look at that house, somebody began to come out of that house. And he saw a cloud over that man. I said, but this should be the White House. But the house was black. Amen. And a man came out of that house, and his name began with O. Amen. So, you don't need anybody to tell you that there is trouble coming. Because the people who are playing center stage are agents of darkness. Amen. But that's by the side. But for you and I, there is a focus we need to have. You know? So you ask yourself, what is the aim? When you fast, when you pray, when you are here today, now you are here. Why are you here? For what purpose? Because your purpose must meet God's standard. There is a standard that God is requiring of every, not just you and I, but in every generation. In those that have passed and now. It hasn't changed. The Bible says we must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's a measurement of Christ. Amen. And that end point is determined by the vision of Daniel. Say 70 weeks are determined to make an end, to finish the whole matter. 70 weeks. Amen. Now, I believe that one of the things we need, Isaac shared a little bit on it, you know, when he was from Israel. He was speaking about understanding the time. You know, we need to understand the time. Because the time where we are now is the time of crossing over. And when you are going to cross over, it was a new game completely. He told them, bring them. And you must circumcise them with sharp knives. The sharp knife speaks of the word. That sharp knife. There's a sharpness. There is a ministry of the word that is coming. And that is the word that is going to prepare the people. Amen. But before they could go, you told them, you must prepare yourself 3 days. You must prepare victuals for 3 days. Because something is going to happen 3 days from that time. So, in order to cross Jordan and come over to the other side, you don't just eat granite and enter. Amen. You don't just stumble around and enter. There has to be a preparation. 3 is the number of resurrection. Are you with me? 3 is the number of resurrection. It took them 3 days. You must prepare. You must prepare yourselves. For those who are going to cross over, they must rise also. So he's saying you must rise. He's saying you must deal with Jordan. He's saying it is for you and thy people. In other words, the victory that God is going to give, not just me alone, I must do it in the context of the people of God. And then finally, there is the destination. So what God is speaking is a complete, it's a complete burden. Praise the Lord. Okay, so let me try to break it down. Some people said to me, when you speak, you scatter the whole thing. You don't try to be organized. So I'm trying to be a bit organized so that you can follow me. So I've spoken of definite things which you can write down and which you can look at. Amen. I'm sorry, I'm not the type that can make notes. I make my notes in the spirit. Amen. Okay, so let's try to be a bit organized. So he says, Moses, my servant, is dead. So, as I said, Moses is a type of Christ. And I want to provoke you to think, why are you on earth? What are you doing? And I ask you a question, if somebody takes a gun and shoots at you, why should you die? Because the soul is eternal. And the soul is of God. The soul is God himself that came into man. I don't know if you understand. God came into man. So there is a purpose. And that purpose is beyond Nigeria. Nigeria is just one, is so insignificant. So that purpose of God, if you understand. The things happening, all the political, those are so insignificant to eternity. Hallelujah. Brother, we're talking about eternity here. Eternity. Well, if you try to appreciate it with your mind, you cannot take. So the only way is in your spirit. You have to let God bring, you know, impact it upon you. The reality of aeonion, that is world without end. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
That is the reality. It's not Nigeria. It's not Boko Haram. It's so insignificant in God, what we're talking about. So Moses was a type. Even before Moses came, somebody said, Moses is my son. He said, you small boy, Moses is your son. He said, yes. Yeah, before Abraham, I was. Sorry about that. I am. Okay, that's even more serious. So, we are looking at the reality. So, Moses is a type of Christ. And the Bible says that the bride must follow the lamb wheresoever he goes. So there is an example. An example has been laid for us. And that is the man Christ Jesus. He came and he laid an example. Now, I want you to understand. Because you need understanding. God is looking for sons. That's another big one. You can write it down if you are in the writing down group.
Let us pray. No thanks. I beg.
When the word comes, it's based on the burden of the word.
Yes.
So we do that.
So God is looking for sons. And anywhere you see sons, the son is for sacrifice. Anywhere you see sons, it is for sacrifice. Jesus Christ was a son right from the beginning. He ended up on the cross as a sacrifice. It was sacrifice. Amen. And God is calling the people, preparing us for sacrifice. And when I understand that, it changes my whole perception. So the issue is not, again, Boko Haram. The issue is not those things that are coming, they're coming. But supposing God will give your life as a sacrifice. Are we worried for it? Have you thought about it? Amen. Supposing God will allow it. Are we ready for it? Well, it's like why are you coming to, you know, bring this and that on us? But brethren, it's an encouragement to rise higher for the purpose that God has called us. So Moses is a type of Christ. And Christ, you see, was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So right from the foundation, his life was for sacrifice. He was there for sacrifice. It wasn't for himself. He didn't live for himself. So that's the first thing I want us to appreciate. And then apart from this aspect of a lamb for sacrifice, Jesus, when he came, I'm feeling something. I think I'll just hold on with the message. I have a cut the flow. I don't have the flow again. So.
Hallelujah.